Thank you for downloading the Friday Night Comedy Podcast from Radio 4. To find out more, visit bbc.co.uk/radio4. But not until you've enjoyed this week's news quiz.
We present the news quiz with your host, Sandy Toksby.
Welcome to the news quiz. We start with a headline from the BBC News website, read for you by Corrie Caulfield.
Bankrupt goalkeeper to auction balls.
And our thanks to all those who sent that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Andrew Maxwell. And opposite them on my left, Sunday Times journalist Camilla Long and Andy Hamilton. Jeremy, who doesn't want to give people the right to roam?
Theresa May, who is sort of burnishing her leadership credentials, is in a fight with Sajid Javid. And Sajid Javid is Osborne's protege, and Osborne also wants to lead the Conservative Party. And so rather than do it himself, he said, "I don't like that, Theresa. Make her go away." And so what's happened is Sajid Javid wants there to be mobile reception available all over the country, which would involve roaming like happens when you're abroad where your phone just finds the nearest mast. And the police say you can't do that because what would happen is we wouldn't be able to track people properly because there are these black spots in Cornwall where there is no mobile reception. And, of course, all the terrorists are now in Cornwall. There's a huge ISIS pasty shop there. And so the police are saying, no, don't do that. And Theresa May is saying, no, don't do that. And there are all these columns appearing by sort of fusty Luddites saying that they're glad. They're glad you can't. I, for one, am glad that there are some corners of England that are unconnected to the world of modern technology. The other day I was at one of my homes, a cottage that, that nestles at the foot of Bodmin Moor and is blissfully unconnected to mobile reception or broadband. After a morning playing the harpsichord to my falcon, I decided to go for a bracing yomp upon the moor and stumbled upon a couple in some distress, the kind of urbanites who came unstuck so deservedly in the film Deliverance, that magnificent celebration of rural life. The female of the species plaintively cried, "My husband is having a heart attack. Please help us. Do you have a mobile phone?" No attempt to engage in conversation with me. She merely wanted to engage with the health and safety fanatics of the NHS. "No, I do not," I retorted. "I suggest you let nature do its course. The crows and magpies will take care of his eyes and the rest of him will compost down nicely in the coming months."
You can hear part two of the afternoon drama.
Sometimes you need a phone, because some of us have people in our lives that we care about and who care about us.
Yeah, but didn't the Culture Secretary unveil these plans after David Cameron complained of patchy phone reception in Cornwall?
Is that probably his aide trying to spare his feelings? Because he doesn't realise how unpopular he is.
Ah.
So he says, "You know, I haven't had a call all day." They go, "Oh, yeah, that's your phone. Yeah, there's no reception round here."
What I'm really concerned about is that Theresa May is relying on terrorists' phones to fail. And you sort of think, there's a lot of terrorists in Cornwall or wherever it is, and she's just waiting for them to go, "Ah, no, I can't talk to Iran," and like that. And for it to collapse in that way, surely it should be slightly more sophisticated than that.
Well, I think she might be right. I mean, Afghanistan has terrible phone reception, and you see from the news there's never any bombs there. I mean, that works terribly well. So. But do you not think we should try and move all terrorists back to the old-fashioned pen and paper? I mean, yeah. It seems to me if it would reduce the number of death threats, because by the time you've, I don't know, found a pen and then you've got an envelope, with, you know, which hasn't got a window in it, and you've dug out the right...
Yes,
find a post office that's still open.
It's too easy to issue a death threat these days. Just tweet away. You know, the old school. You have to get all the newspapers, cut them out.
Yeah.
Really think it through. Yeah. You know, I want you to hate me and love arts and crafts.
Yeah. But by the time you've stuck all that Spritz stick, right, all that thing, honestly, your murderous rage has dissipated, I would imagine.
It is, or really consolidated.
Yeah.
People and their bleeding opinions on Twitter. I tell you, if every tweet cost a stamp, they'd have a whole lot less opinions.
Home Secretary Theresa May has warned that the Culture Secretary, Sajid Javid's plan to improve mobile phone reception and eradicate so-called not spots could have a negative impact on law enforcement. Her desire to keep potential terrorists offline is founded on personal experience. She was very nearly radicalised recently after spending an hour talking with BT Customer Service. Most not spots are in rural areas, so terrorists may now turn their attention to bombing the countryside. It's certainly easier to blend in there, as everyone else is buying bags of fertiliser too. 2 points to Jeremy. Camilla, which breakdown is proving taxing for the Treasury?
This is the initiative by George Osborne to send breakdowns of taxes to 24 million voters. And I think the idea is that you receive a pie chart so that you know exactly how much you are paying towards your bins and how much you're paying towards your education. I'd really like quite a detailed report of exactly where my tax is going,
yeah,
to
everything.
Be honest with you. Absolutely everything. That policeman over there, I'd like to know exactly how much.
Do you think there could be an app for that? You could, like, you could put your phone up to a policeman and you'd know.
Yes.
£4.50.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always quite fascinated that the royals cost us sort of 50p each a year, and I'd like to know exactly how much of my money is going towards Prince Charles that particular week. Well, or how much of...
Yeah, you could put a meter on them.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it is propaganda, really, isn't it? Because what is really crafty about it is the fact that the biggest bit of the pie is just listed under welfare, which in tabloid speak will mean unemployment benefit. But, I mean, you know, includes pensions and child benefit. And
that section just said scum, didn't it?
Yeah. Also, it costs £5 million. I'm not sure it's worth... £5 million.
Is there a slice of the pie which indicates how much of your taxes are going towards this very letter?
Yeah. Maybe it'll come monthly, yeah, with, you know, and with a binder to collect and enjoy.
Yeah.
But also, would you not want to start getting something for it? So, a person earning £30,000 a year contributes £534 to the defence budget. But that's quite a lot. I would think that definitely gives you a go in a submarine. Surely that's...
It did work. I mean, in tactical terms, obviously what Osborne was aiming to do was to try and square up a lot of support. It did work for him because all the right-wingers steamed in. Farage steamed... At least I think it was Farage. I couldn't see him behind his poppy. What, did you see the size of Farage's poppy?
He looked like he was supposed to lie down in front of the Tower of London.
Yeah. Well, it was like a sort of huge red triffid was attacking him. It's extraordinary.
It was his mum getting her kit off recently.
Really?
Yeah
Farage's mother is getting naked in the Daily Mail.
Why?
No, for charity. Wasn't it?
No, she did it for charity about sort of 6 years ago. And there are lots of pictures of Nigel Farage's mother sort of naked, standing behind a big tractor pulling a thing like that. And then she's covered in body paint, posing with a bouquet. And my favourite is her posing naked as one of the three kings, three wise men.
Seriously?
Yes. It's the weirdest thing. She's holding a little box of gold and then boobs and then sort of some headdress. She's got a crown on and pearls around her, so around her neck.
So how do you raise money for charity? Is it you give money and she puts her clothes back on? Because I'm suddenly thinking of the most nauseating nativity play you can imagine. Right?
So, and there was a sort of, she sort of had this kind of like slightly simpering look on her face as she offered a box of gold with her sort of big WI baps.
Were they?
She had sandwiches as well.
Are there two other WI bapt endowed kings?
Yes, there were. There was
the frankincense and myrrh. So there are three naked kings bringing gifts to our saviour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
None of them have the paperwork to be here.
HMRC have begun sending out annual tax breakdowns to... How the hell did we get to a naked woman? HMRC have begun sending out annual tax breakdowns to every UK taxpayer detailing where their income tax and national insurance contributions go. For example, a person earning £30,000 a year contributes roughly £1,300 to the NHS, £400 to defence and £2 to the cost of sending out annual tax breakdown letters. The amount spent on the EU by someone earning £15,000 is just £15. But if, like David Cameron, you earn £142,000, it's a rather less manageable £1.7 billion. plus interest. The Chancellor, George Osborne, hailed the letter sent to taxpayers as a revolution in transparency, until an aide pointed out that those envelopes with the little windows in them had been around for ages. 2 points to Camilla. Andy, have a listen to this. Andy, who can't duck the nation's verdict?
Oh, well, this is the world's most expensive by-election, midterm elections in the distant United States. And there's been a massive victory for the Republicans, which means that Barack Obama is basically now a caretaker president because the Republican majority are not going to allow him to... Well, they'll let him lock up. And maybe clean the toilets and sort the post. But they'll be pretty intent on stopping him doing anything else if they can. And they had such a good night, apparently, because there's widespread disillusion in America with Barack Obama, because even though he was the first black president, the feeling is that he's made exactly all the same cock-ups as the white presidents did, only with a little bit more charisma. But anyway, he is now saddled with a lot of sort of fairly crazy cookies to deal with, including a woman called Joni Ernst. She did this extraordinary campaign ad.
Well, we actually have it. Shall we have a quick listen?
Yeah, yeah.
Have a listen to this.
I'm Joni Ernst. I grew up castrating hogs on an Iowa farm. When I get to Washington, I'll know how to cut pork.
Joni Ernst, mother, soldier, conservative.
My parents taught us to live within our means. It's time to force Washington to do the same. To cut wasteful spending, repeal Obamacare, and balance the budget. I'm Joni Ernst, and I approve this message because Washington's full of big spenders. Let's make them squeal.
She sold herself as a pig castrator.
Yeah. And she won.
Yeah.
God bless America.
But what she never explained in the ad is why they castrated the pigs. I mean, was it a hobby? Or what was it? Did they not have a television or, you know...
You've
I don't
heard
know
of the Bay of Pigs incident. It was all to do with that.
She had another campaign ad where she was firing a handgun at pretty much everything, including Obamacare. And I think the voiceover says, watch her unload at Obamacare and she never misses and all this. And you thought it's a little bit tasteless for a country that's lost a few presidents to the bullet. I mean, I don't know why she didn't just go the whole hog and have it filmed standing on a grassy knoll.
Well, it's actually even worse for the Democrats. The Republicans have their highest majority since the 1940s. So the Democrats were absolutely spanked yesterday. But at the exact same time, all over America, in what are called balloted initiatives, the little mini referendums, state by state, every state in the union voted for actually left-wing things, voted for Democratic policy. So there were states that voted for legalisation of marijuana, raising the minimum wage, guaranteeing women's fertility rights, gun control. All these actually left-wing Democratic policies they wanted, but didn't want the party. I mean, just it's doubly insulting, isn't it? Like, we want your ideas.
Yeah, we'll have
just,
what you stand for.
Just not you.
Yeah.
I believe it's called the Miliband effect.
You know, have you noticed that there's another member of the Bush family, the family that keeps on giving?
Yeah.
George P. Bush, who is the grandson of the first President Bush. He's just won his first election. The P stands for Prescott. The prestige. And my favourite person who got elected, 18-year-old Republican Sarah Blair, became the USA's youngest state commissioner. I love her. She was endorsed by the National Rifle Association. Always fun. Opposes abortion rights. She wants to drug test people who receive public assistance, and she opposes gay marriage. And the best thing is, she has announced she would like to team up with George P. Bush. That is Blair and Bush.
What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
But all the dynasties were represented, weren't they? Because there was a Clinton, there was a Bush, there was a Kennedy. And, of course, the next election is going to probably be a runoff between Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. So, for us, that would be the equivalent of the next election being between Cherie Blair and Mark Thatcher.
It is worrying, this dynastic thing. I mean, imagine if our head of state was just the idiot descendant of a previous head of state.
Never happen here.
No. President Obama was left isolated this week after the Republicans gained control of the Senate in the US midterm elections. The president will now find his power to pass legislation extremely limited during his remaining 2 years in office. Both Obama and the Republicans say they wish to find common ground. And once they've found this common ground, they'll change its regime and exploit its mineral resources. Obama rejected claims he'd become a lame duck, saying, "I'm confident I'm going to be pretty busy for the next few years." And, of course, he's right. The Barack Obama Presidential Library isn't going to choose its own wallpaper. 2 points to Andy. At the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Andrew have got 4 points, but so too have Camilla and Andy. We start round two with the description for a show in the Telford Oaken Gates Theatre's autumn programme.
Get ready for Adonis, saucy, sexy and seductive, the original and longest-running male glamour show in the UK. Tickets, £22.50, includes 50 pence handling fee.
And our thanks to Charles King for sending us that. Jeremy, who's taking too many of the tablets?
The Academy of something, something, something. Something to do with the NHS. The body's done a report. And
the Academy of Medical Royal Colleges.
That thing. Has said that the NHS is wasting £2 billion a year, but it says it's wasting it on things like needless x-rays. And you think, well, thing is, until you've done the x-ray, it's hard to tell. I mean, that's the good thing about tests. I mean, when you get your results back and there's a relief, you know, the doctor says, very good news, I'm very glad to tell you, you've got the all clear. He doesn't say, well, that test was a complete bloody waste of time. You turn up here presenting all these symptoms consistent with something very serious, but oh no, well, just go back to your house and be well. Well, we've spent money on a load of tests on you. Thanks for nothing, healthy boy. So yeah, but it's basically that. But there is over-prescription of anti. I'm trying. I don't take antibiotics. I try very hard not to.
You're
take,
not.
Which is why I'm constantly ill. But yeah, we take too many antibiotics.
But how would you work out who needs an X-ray? I've got an idea about this because I think it's only one in five people in a waiting room actually need X-rays. What you do is you release a bear into the waiting room and then X-ray the ones who couldn't run away. But the weird one, this thing, one of the things they said was it's a doctor's duty to prevent waste, OK, which includes better use of operating theatres. Now...
Shows, put shows
on. Shadow puppets.
They're not used in the evening much when theatres are usually full, if you look around the West End.
Well, the one that really worried me was that they were going to be using email and Skype a lot more. Instead of actually seeing people, they were going to be diagnosing over email or something like
type?
That.
Think...
Yeah.
You just put your symptoms on Facebook and see how many likes it gets.
Yeah.
But the government are always doing this to the doctors. They're always saying, I'll spend less money. But they also, in the same breath, want them to do more doctoring. And they'll bribe them. They'll say, we'll give you 50 quid if you diagnose people with dementia. And they've got this thing now, the midlife...
MOT, where
the idea is that middle-aged people go in and they have a complete, thorough medical check in case there is something wrong with them. Well, in the good old days, you didn't know if there was anything wrong with you. You just dropped dead. Everyone was happy.
What the NHS needs to do is just say, look, just give us the bleeding money. We know how much money it needs. It needs 30 billion. They can sort of say, oh, but maybe if doctors didn't wear pants, we could save a bit there. Just give them the bleeding money they need. It's our health that's at stake.
But there is a lot of unnecessary spending. Every time I have the flu jab, which I have because I have asthma, I have the flu jab, the nurse always gives me a postman pat, says, well done sticker. And frankly, I sob while she does the jabbing, so I don't deserve it. So it's
I didn't have the flu jab. I took the option of the prostate exam instead.
You went in with flu symptoms and said, I want a prostate examination, please.
I just lost my keys. I thought, I'm not looking up there. I've got to find somebody who's prepared to.
The Academy of Medical Royal Colleges has released a report claiming that the NHS wastes over £2 billion a year on unnecessary x-rays, drugs and treatments. The report says that doctors should be less ready to prescribe a cocktail of drugs to older people, as traditional gin-based cocktails work just as well. It's important to look out for the early signs of dementia, which include putting your glasses in the dishwasher, your car keys in the fridge, or Jeremy Hunt in charge of the Department of Health. 2 points to Jeremy. Andrew, which recipe book is half-baked?
Oh, yes, this is ISIS, the Islamic State, have brought out a cookbook for women.
Don't you love it when the news quiz writes itself? I didn't know this. It's a jihadist's wife's duty to provide battle snacks. Handy-sized snacks, and the ones they suggest are made with butter, dates and millet flour that your holy warrior can eat on the go. What's wrong with a lion bar and a bag of quavers, eh?
Genuinely, there was an interview with some people from the Islamic State complaining that a lot of the Western kids who were going to fight for them, who are more than willing to blow themselves up, more than willing to kill people, but won't eat the local food.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're jihadis, but they won't eat foreign muck. Genuinely, it's a major problem. They were going in the cities they hold with their foreign fighters that they insist on having pizza and chips. But I did, you know, to be honest, there's just too much coverage about Islamic State. Like, we're literally giving them the oxygen of publicity. The British media is obsessed with IS the way the Irish media is obsessed with Roy Keane. Who is another bearded lunatic who's quite likely to blow up at any given moment.
They have some dodgy policies, but if you look at this recipe, they make exceedingly good cakes. The Zora Foundation, the women's wing of the self-proclaimed Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, has launched an online cookbook for jihadist wives to help their battling husbands. One chapter is thought to be entitled, You Say Hostage, I Say Guest. Most mujahideen follow a version of the Atkins diet, which involves avoiding all carbohydrates, processed foods and rational thought. One recipe consists of date balls, even though the name is made up of one thing which is banned by ISIS and another which will be cut off if you disobey them. 2 points to Andrew. Andy, who's not expected to know the ropes?
Oh, this is about the Scouts. And I was very pleased to see this story. I was a Scout. I love the Scouts. Scouts was great. It was like being in the Hitler Youth, only without the Nazism bit. And I was a proper Scout. You know, I had shorts and a woggle, and I could tie knots. You know, I could tie sheep shanks and sheep bends and clovitches and bowlins. You know, and I had badges. You couldn't see my arm for badges. I had a house orderly badge. I had to boil an egg. I had waterman's badge. I made a bivouac out of sticks and leaves. Getting £90,000 for one of them in central London now. I was clean in thought, word and deed, apart from when I was watching The Avengers. And it was fantastic. And the problem now is that they've done away with all the practical stuff and these things like PR and circus skills. But I learned a lot in the Scouts. I learned about leadership because I was leader of the Bull Patrol, oddly enough. And I had to take them on a night hike on Box Hill, me and six kids, right? And I got them completely and totally lost. And I never let on once. Right? All the brambles and the nettles, I just pretended that was part of some master plan. I just bluffed and I bullshitted, and I haven't stopped since. So I think it's sad if the Scouts are losing touch with all those sort of pioneering skills.
I'm amazed you can have a badge in public relations. I mean, well, not as amazed as I am that you can have a career in it, but it's the knot. They can't tie knots anymore, isn't it?
No, I know. Which, I mean, I've used all those. Not every day in my life, you know, I don't think I've written a single script without having to tie a sheep shank.
Oh, yes?
I had the most, actually, probably one of the most important filmic moments of my life when I was in the Scouts, because we went to an international jamboree in Sweden when I was about 14 and a half. And we were quite excited. Hadn't been abroad much. It was in the middle of Sweden. What we didn't know was that in Sweden, girls are Scouts as well. Mm-hmm. So I was doing the washing up one day, sort of scraping all the mud out of the billy cans and stuff. And the Girl Scouts had been having their sort of big campfire-y thing. And I'm doing the washing up, and I look up the hill, and walking towards me, I like to think in slow motion, it wasn't in slow motion, but walking towards me were about 400 blonde Swedish girls. Sorry, what were we talking about?
This is like one of those letters.
Just get on.
This is like a made-up letter in a porn mag. Imagine my surprise. I couldn't believe my luck.
It was an important emotional moment for me.
The Scout Association says scouting leaders are no longer expected to know how to tie knots and that expertise in youth work is more important. The news triggered outrage from the sorts of people who spend their entire lives waiting for this sort of thing to happen so they can be outraged by it. This announcement is thought by many to be the biggest threat to traditional scouting since the introduction of the CRB check. Scout and best-selling children's author G.P. Taylor said the founder of the Scouts, Lord Baden-Powell, would be spinning in his grave, incidentally allowing him to qualify for his weaving and handcrafts. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting they would like to share?
This was sent in by David Gill, and it's from the Bournemouth Echo. Pod of dolphins stunned lucky sailors with their aquatic aerobatics on Saturday afternoon. Around 20 played in waters off sandbanks for an hour, delighting viewers. The same group could be spotted from Southbourne earlier that morning, where many walkers reported catching a glimpse of the animals as they strolled along the beach.
Any more?
I've got one that's been sent in from Callum Howie from the Dumfries Courier, which is a competition. Enter the Dumfries Courier reader competition and you could be the lucky winner to enjoy the full Monty service from The Hand Job, a local company with a range of services including car wash, valeting, dent and scratch removal, leather repairs, window tinting, etc., etc. And the question for this competition is, when is Ladies' Day at The Hand Job?
Yeah, I've got one from Stuart Munro in Musselburgh. It's from the Aberdeen Evening Express Digital Edition. Headline one, Aberdeen boy, 10, injured in attack involving 15 children. Headline two, Aberdeen mum, my 9-year-old son saved me from knife-wielding intruder. Headline three, Aberdeen student elbowed man in face at nightclub. Headline four, Aberdeen, hailed as happiest place in Britain.
This was sent in by Alistair Cuthill. It is a sign from Grove Place Public Toilets in Falmouth, with a sign directly underneath that says, have you paid and displayed?
Let's take a look at the final scores. Camilla and Andy have got 14 points, but this week's winners are Jeremy and Andrew with 15. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from an article about environmentally friendly toilets spotted in the East Anglian Daily Times by Ian Cameron.
The toilets work without needing water, electricity or chemicals. Instead, natural energy from wind is used.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz with Jeremy Hardy, Andrew Maxwell, Camilla Long and Andy Hamilton. And the chair was Sandy Toxwick. And the news is read by me, Corey Caulfield. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Andy Walton and James Kettle, with additional material by Katie Mulgrew and Max Davis and Andrew Murray. The producer was Sam Michel.
Listen again to any of our comedies on Radio 4, please go to bbc.co.uk/radio4/comedy.